that right?
Welcome. Welcome. But he's in the same pew, I think. So we're okay. We're okay there. It's good to see that. If you all get up and meet and greet each other, especially anyone that you maybe want to give your name to or ask them who they are.
Your mood. You sleep in your mood. It should. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
We're now at the part of announcements and signing the registration books. They're nice and bright and red. We should be able to see them very well this morning. I know they were handed out. Please sign them and pass them down your pew so you can get to know who you're sitting with. Are there any announcements that aren't in the bulletin or that should be brought up? There is one that I noticed in the bulletin. It said to mark your calendar for the Christmas Bazaar, but it didn't give a date to mark on your calendar. It's the 18th of November, so you can mark your calendars.
The newsletter said men's fellowship in October, but we have scratched that, I believe. I'll check with Mr. England later, David, but because of there's another event in town that morning.
Okay, so the men's fellowship for October may not be going. Okay, are there any prayer requests or praise requests? Anything that isn't, we have the prayer list with us, Melanie?
Ben and Amelia, in the morning for Russia, and I personally will miss them terribly. So pray for their safe travel and visit and safe return.
Okay. Okay, how long will you be gone?
A month.
Okay. Steve?
John Lord, ARD. I've lived with him all my life, next door to him. Yeah, 13.
Okay, we'll remember him in the prayers.
I have two.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Van Lynch is a pastor's wife, friend of Larry's, and if you recall, her husband, they think, jumped off the bridge. They never did find his body. Anyway, she had a liver transplant, I'm going to say, a month ago. She's not well. She's back in the hospital in ICU in Memphis. So remember Van Lynch. And also, Lenny Wall is a longtime friend of mine and cousin of the Huskies that used to come to church here. He's got a bleeding ulcer. He's going to have an upper GI on Tuesday. So remember him in the prayer, please.
Okay. Is there anyone else? If you have a silent prayer, write it on one of the cards in your pew, and we can get it in the bulletin next week. Okay, we pause now for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for the worship of God and the lighting of the candles, welcoming Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Offering Praise to God from your Renewal Hymnals 141, the opening. Oh, we don't do that here, do we? Ah, see? You can do whatever you want here if they forgive you. Okay. The call to worship then is in your hymnal, but it's 509. The number is wrong. That's written there. It's 509. I will sing of my Redeemer.
509. I
do this. 509 is a response. Here, we're ready. Okay. The worship leader. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God.
He is
a rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have confronted me. Surely God is my
salvation.
I will
trust
and not
be
afraid.
The Lord
is my strength and my song.
He has become
my salvation.
With joy
you will draw water from
the wells
of
salvation.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay. So now you're going to do the hymn of praise. Now what's it?
Here you go.
Oh, now I see where we're coming from. Okay. Well, now, Sam, you will take
okay,
over
here.
The hymn.
All right, let's all stand and turn our hymnals to hymn 506. I will sing of my Redeemer. And his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, came the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell of wondrous story, how my lost estate will sing, in his boundless love and mercy. He the ransom free me gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. Paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power of hell. And of the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his hand.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your work of redemption, we come this morning to celebrate it, to thank you, to sing about it, to spread the word that you have provided redemption from sin to all who will receive it. And Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Lost in sin. In debt. Because of the sin. But you have redeemed us. Through Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for being willing to give of yourself. Surrender your life. That we might have life. And as we have gathered today, let that sink deep into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, that we might experience a special blessing, and that we might be a blessing when we go into the world. And we offer our prayer, ourselves, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing for the Apostles' Creed and the Gloria.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We continue now with confessing our sin. Our call to confession is from Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. Grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. We'll now continue in silent confession. assurance of forgiveness from Psalms 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The hymn is 512. Right?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Turning your hymnals to hymn 512. The first line says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am amazed that he could go to the cross and die for somebody like me. I hope you are too. 1 and 4. 1 and 4. 512.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
We now go into the expressing our thanks to God with our offering from Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crop. Will the ushers please come forward?
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the weather that we've been having and for giving us your Son and for being there for us when we need him. But most of all, right now, let us take these offerings and use them for your service. And we ask that you do this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
God's Word with the scriptural lesson, followed by the message, and then we will celebrate the sacraments of the Lord's Supper.
Scripture lesson this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 29. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." The word of God for the people of God.
And praise be to God. Allie MacArthur will receive the sacrament of baptism by immersion this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I guess we would call it at the baptismal hole at the corner of Clovercroft and Burke Hollow Road. And we invite you and encourage you to come and share in that experience. Allie has professed her faith in Jesus Christ privately, and then we will plan more for her when she comes publicly. Actually, that will be a public affirmation or proclamation this afternoon, but she will come into the church at a later time. Also, last Wednesday evening, Paige Pierce, a new attender to the congregation, received the sacrament of baptism, having expressed her faith in Christ as her Savior and wanting to be marked as His child at the Wednesday evening service. And I guess that was the first for the Wednesday evening service. So continue to pray for that service. And for the other teenagers who desire to follow Jesus and want to be set apart, marked as a disciple of Jesus, trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we pray for not only the teenagers, but the adults also, and the children. Today is World Communion Sunday, And that's something that's been going on since 1936. We learned that a group of Presbyterian churches encouraged each other to remember the Lord's death together in 1936. But about 1940, the Federal Council of Churches, which became the National Council of Churches years later, picked it up and promoted one Sunday in the year when every congregation that would join together would be united around the Lord's table. Someone figured up with the time changes and the different hours of worship, probably on World Communion Sunday, somewhere around the world, every hour for these 24 hours, someone is being blessed and proclaiming their faith at the Lord's table as we celebrate what we would call World Communion Sunday. Now, many churches do not participate. I thought that my wife had planned a vacation beginning Friday, and when I mentioned to the session that we want to postpone World Communion Sunday, and they said, well, we can't do that. So then I had a preacher to come to serve communion to you today. But then my wife instructed me that I was a week off. So that preacher will be here next week, so I get to be with you for World Communion Sunday. She said the first weekend in October, or we planned on that, and I thought it was portion of a weekend, and she had changed her, or got off her work schedule for the first full weekend to be available, or the week after the first full weekend. So today is World Communion Sunday, and many churches, we will say, throughout the world are celebrating at the Lord's table this day. I have an early memory, and I thought of this, and I almost said it earlier in the service, concerning getting the wrong number for the call to worship, and that somehow that 6 got turned upside down. It was really supposed to be a 9, and that's easy to do, even when you're proofing sometime. And Joyce was gone this week, so we kind of stumbled through. But it was this early memory of mine concerned the communion service, and it was the prayer that the minister prayed at the conclusion of the communion service back in my home church. And it was, to my memory, the Reverend S.T. Byers, who is probably the strong influence, or one of the strong influences that I became a Christian. And so I look back with fondness on some of those things that happened when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. But at the conclusion of serving the elements, he would offer a prayer, and he would ask God to forgive us for anything that we did in that serving of the elements or in that communion service that was not right. Forgive us of any mistakes that we have made, he would pray, in this service, in serving this meal. Anything that we have done that was wrong, he wanted to stand pure before God. And I guess that prayer flashes through my mind each Sunday when we serve communion, which is once a month, first Sunday, when I stand here before you. And that prayer of Brother Byers flashes through my mind that, Lord, forgive us of any mistakes that we have made in this experience or this observance or this celebration. And he may have taken his prayer from the Apostle Paul's letter
to the Corinthians. As you read verse 17 through 22, you'll see that Paul thought and knew that they had made mistakes. And he said, I hear this about you, and I'm believing it. He didn't say, I truly believe it, but he says, I tend to believe it. But he says, there's going to be some differences to really show who is with the Lord and who is not with the Lord, kind of a testing. But then he went on to give instruction about how the Lord's Supper was to be observed. And even with that, there are some things left out that I've discovered through my years of experience. Whether we partake at the table or whether we partake in the pew, whether we partake at the table standing or whether we partake kneeling across the front of the sanctuary, or whether we take individual morsels of bread and a small cup, or whether we use a common cup. He didn't go into detail about these. Whether we drink from a common cup, or whether we take bread and dip it in the common cup, which is a rather new experience for me, relatively new, but as we read the scripture, it's there where Jesus spoke of sopping, the one who sopped with him. So he didn't give us minute details, but general instructions. So writing to the Christians at Corinth, Paul was trying to correct some wrongs. The communion service had got out of hand, and we can't think of how that could happen, but it had. Had got out of hand. It had become a drunken brawl, so it seems. As you read it, some are getting drunk, some are acting as gluttons, and some are coming and there's nothing left for them. So he was trying to correct some wrongs that had taken place, or allegedly had taken place. He gives them the benefit of the doubt. He says, I tend to believe you, or I lean toward believing you. And he wanted to correct this. Back in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul asked a question. He said, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And he goes on, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? But then, in chapter 11, he is saying, what y'all are doing is not right. It's really not participation in the blood and the body of Christ. You're all out of order, he is saying. When you come together, it is not. It is not this what is supposed to take place, he says chapter 10. But when we get to chapter 11, it says, what y'all are doing is not the Lord's Supper. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. They were not doing it correctly. The manner in which they were participating was not respectful of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. And Brother Byers, my preacher when I was converted, saved, became a Christian, made a step toward the Lord to want to be His disciple. Brother Byers wanted to be respectful. I want to be respectful. I want to do it right as far as we can know. Let's look at the meaning of the symbols. The bread. It represents the body of Jesus, broken for us. The fruit of the vine. There we come with what should the fruit of the vine be? Should it be real wine? Should it be grape juice? I believe, to my memory, I've always served grape juice and referred to it as the fruit of the vine.
even have heard some preachers argue that no, Jesus would not have served real wine. And one preacher said, I'm going to Israel. I don't know how he's going to find out, but he said, I'm going to Israel, and when I get back, I'll know for sure whether it was real wine or whether it was unfermented grape juice. Well, when he got back, he never came to tell me what he had learned. And I didn't go ask him. Maybe I should have gone to ask him, and maybe he was waiting for that. But it's the fruit of the vine. And I think it's immaterial. And it represents the blood of Jesus. And Matthew says, records that Jesus said, shed for the remission of the sins of many. And I often think and often say, I'm glad to be included in that many. The blood of Jesus shed for us. Jesus told the 12 that this was His body and His blood when He instituted the supper on the night of His betrayal. The following day, out of His love for the people of the world, and make it personal, out of His love for me and for you, out of His love for you, He died. And the Bible tells us that in dying, Jesus assumed the burden for our sin. He took our sin upon Himself as His own and assumed the penalty for our sin. Or the wages of sin, or the penalty of sin, is death. I discovered a story, an illustration about Superman. I hesitate to use it, but maybe it will be okay. Do we have any Superman people here? Not super people, but Superman fans. I guess I used to be. I became an adult. I put away childish things, but now I've gone back. I've reverted. I think this illustrates what Jesus has done for us. The evil Lex Luthor launches a missile and it explodes near a California fault zone and creates an earthquake. And the earthquake causes great turmoil, and it causes a break in the earth. And Superman flies over to observe, inspect the damage that is caused, and he sees an accident that's about to happen. The earthquake caused a 5-foot section of a railroad track to be twisted out of shape, and a packed passenger train is roaring down toward the ruined track. Superman can't stop the train. I don't understand that. But it wouldn't have been a good illustration if he had, would it? He can't stop the train, but he does have time to fly down and stretch his body out on that section of track that has been destroyed, that's been mangled. And by stretching his body over that 5-foot section of track, he saves the lives of several hundred passengers on the train. And Richard Fairchild saw this as a good illustration to illustrate to a limited degree what Jesus did. See, Superman is not real, but Jesus was. So there's a great difference between Superman and Jesus. Superman saved, in this fiction story, the life of a trainload of people. But Jesus, he was stretched out on the cross. And he provided salvation for all of mankind. The difference is Superman character out of a fiction story. Jesus, the Son of God, sent to save the world. One of us. One with us. He lived, He breathed, He laughed, He cried in a real place, in a real time. And He was stretched out on the cross and then raised up to hang beside two other men. He suffered and He died that we might have life. In His memory, we break the bread and drink of the cup. The bread that He called His body broken for us, and the cup that He called His blood shed for us. In September, I quoted from E.K. Reagan's book, and I thought I brought a copy with me this morning, What Cumberland Presbyterians Believe as to What Communion Is. And I repeat, it's a memorial to our Savior. Do this in remembrance or in memory of me. It's a testimony. It's a testimony that we believe that Jesus is coming again. It's a confession. We show the Lord's death till He comes, and we have faith. We confess our faith in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bond of union between Christians. We're together in this, and on World Communion Sunday especially, as we see ourselves connected to other Christians throughout the world. And it's a silent sermon telling the world that we died for Christ. I mean, that Christ died for us, and that we have died to self for His sake. And we're living for Him. In the book, E.K. Reagan writes about children and the sacrament. And often I'm asked about children and the sacrament. Reagan contends that parents should make the decision about their children partaking of the sacrament. And he speaks concerning those children who have not made a profession of faith publicly. Reagan suggests that parents can use the sacrament to teach their children about Jesus. But he wrote back in 1931. But about 1966, the General Assembly said that children who have not made a profession of faith should not participate in the sacrament. Through my ministry, I've kind of forgot that statement, or that decision by General Assembly, kind of let it fall off to the side of my desk. But I still leave it up to the parents. I personally cannot deny a child who has learned about Jesus and can understand that Jesus died for them. I cannot deny them the elements. Jesus said two things that influence my practice here. Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And He goes on to say, "Unless we become as little children, we cannot be a part of His kingdom." Another phrase that some people have discussed and many times misinterpreted about the children, that's up to you parents. I'm not going to be the communion police. But the next phrase, unworthy or unworthily, or in an unworthy manner. No one is worthy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But all of us can come in faith. We can come respectful. We can come thankful. We can come humbly. William Barclay, one of my favorite theologians of days gone by, says we must be clear about one thing concerning the worthy or unworthiness of a person coming to the altar. The phrase which forbids a man to eat or drink unworthily does not shut out a man who is a sinner and who knows it to be so. He says, an old Highland minister, seeing an old woman hesitate to receive the cup, stretched it out to her, saying, "Take it, woman. It's for sinners. It's for you." He goes on to say, if the table of Christ were only for perfect people, none might ever approach this table. The approach is never closed to a penitent sinner, to the man who loves God and loves his fellow man. The way is ever open, and his sins, though they be as scarlet, shall be white as snow. Amen and amen. I believe we have a song to sing concerning communion. It's 185. It's When I Survey. When I Survey this wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Let's stand together and let's sing this song and meditate upon this cross that you see before you.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but contempt on all my pride. For be it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. That charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood.
And you may be seated. I want to look at verse 3. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The words of institution that we might have read were the words that we read for the scripture lesson this morning. Now I invite all who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who have claimed His death as forgiveness for their sin, and said, "Lord, I claim it. I'm trusting in You. Come into my life. however you would want to describe it. All who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior are invited to eat and drink from this table. We have Louise as an active elder present. Who else here? Would you come? Teresa, come. Donna, you're playing. Are you playing? Are you come with us? We have a fourth active elder present. Sam, come and assist us, please. Lord, I thank you for this bread. Bread sustains us each day, O Lord, and you provided it for us. But I thank you that you took this simple, everyday experience that we have with bread and made it special for us. Set it apart for holy use. Lord, bread representing the body of Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you for His body being given for us. Amen. Body of Jesus broken for you. Lord Jesus, you gave your blood. You could have called the angels, 10,000 of them, to rescue you, but you chose to go to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Bless this cup. We remember your shed blood as we drink. Thank you. Amen. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Serve the people. God is great. God is good. God is awesome. And let us sing about this awesome God. 245 in the Renew Hymnal. Lord, we stand in awe before You. Thank You for Your love to us. Redemption through Jesus. The hope of heaven and eternity with You. And in Jesus' name, we go forth.